if we speak about Afghanistan, our media speak of a Stone Age Islam. True?
A good question. Of course, there is Islamic extremism in Afghanistan. Many different hardline people work something by the name of Islam. But if you want to have a real picture of Islam, it is much difficult just to say we encounter in Afghanistan such a stone age of Islam. I think nowadays we have different trends in terms of religious interpretation. So, of course, the hardline and extremism is a aggressive discourse of Islam in Afghanistan right now, but not the only discourse in Afghanistan in terms of religion. We have different idea in an interpretation of Islam in Afghanistan. My last book, which devoted to Islam by the title of Islam, I tried to open a new ways, a new interpretation of Islam, to present Islam not as a political ideology, but as a religion and a way between man and God, and to explain how this religion historically developed.
The political ideology, one that came to Afghanistan, mostly with the Taliban, was Salafi, Wahhabi interpretation. How could Salafi and Wahhabi interpretation become to have such a role in Afghanistan?
Of course, unfortunately, there is a replacement in terms of Sunni Muslim that the Salafi or Wahhabism replaced the Hanafi tradition in terms of Sunni Muslims. After the coming of the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, we need a political ideology to fight against them. We need a kind of a system of justification to justify fighting, to justify jihad. Jihad does not mean something armed fighting against. Jihad is at first in Islamic concept traditionally. It means that you should fight against your soul, against yourself. You should educate yourself. It is the exact, the real meaning of jihad, the great jihad. We have two kinds of jihad, the smaller jihad and the greater jihad. The greater jihad is to fight against yourself. But nowadays, the jihadi ideologies do not have any relation to themselves. They do not reform themselves, but they want to change everything around the world. And because of this, countries like Saudi Arabia supported financially the Mujahideens, and they also propagated their ideology as religion among the Afghan peoples. Slowly, the Hanafi tradition changed toward a new Hanbalism or Wahhabi.
What does it mean that Hanafi tradition changed? We usually say a Hanafi majority is a tolerant majority in Afghanistan.
Of course, it is something complicated, but as I understand, most of the warlords that they originated in the Hanafi tradition, but also they were influenced by the new version of Islam which propagated from Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. So it is a kind of mixed, a multi-dimensional figures. And politically, they have a look to Saudi Arabia, and traditionally, they also carry some parts of their own traditions. I mean, Hanafi. We cannot say that the Hanafi tradition completely removed from Afghanistan is still alive, but does not play and cannot play significant role in the current situation, because the Hanafi, it is not much politicized religion. Nowadays, the Hanbalism or Wahhabiyat, they fighting against all the world, and it is a hardline political ideology. Anyway, after coming the America, USA in Afghanistan and the international communities, the situation became intensified more than before. So I think it is the only solution to regain once again the traditional religion of Afghanistan. I mean the Hanafi, which is more tolerated religion and reasonable, and has the flexibility to fix itself and to allow the people to fix themselves to a new situation. Culturally, historically and in terms of religion, nothing is clear. Islam is a historical achievement. I mean that it developed during the history. We should explain how it developed. What's the problem?
Can we maybe go to the social reality in Afghanistan? There is lots of illiterate people. We know that most Afghans don't speak Arabic, but they carry the word of the Quran on their lips.
Of course, that's the problem, but it is maybe it's kind of ritual, not a kind of narrative. We, in terms of religion, we have two aspects. One is ritual. Of course, most of the illiterate people say something in Arabic, dua, or prior to their gods, so they do not understand what they saying in Arabic language. But we have, beside the ritual, it is necessary for the people to have some ritual. Nowadays, a carnival in Kuln city, it is also a ritual. We should respect the ritual. But narratively, it is important to have a reasonable narrative of Islam. The conflict is about the narration, how to narrative Islam, how to present the tolerate narrative of Islam. I think it is possible. I try to present my own narrative of Islam. In this narrative, there is less violence, less intolerate. It is more tolerate than the other version of Islam.
For example?
For example, the women has no obstacles for them to participate in political activity. Even they get no discrimination in terms of heritage. They inherit as equal as the men, for example. Some discrimination in Islam historically. It has not any root in the sacred, in the mind of God. It is something historically, it historical phenomena. Somebody said something, and historically this thing developed. And right now we encounter as a dogma. No, it is completely wrong. There is no justification, no argument to obey such rule. It is possible, theologically and according to religion principle, it is possible to change such kind of saying. And I showed historically that it is development during the history and no need to obey for the all time.
How is the confrontation of Shia Islam and Sunni Islam in Afghanistan? A lot of people don't know about the Afghan reality. How conflictual is it? How many percentage is Shia and Sunni in Afghanistan? Because all of that is unclear to most people.
I think 30% Shia Muslim, 70% Sunni Muslim. Shia has two branches, Ismaili and Isna'ashari. Isna'ashari or 12 Imam Shia. The Shia people which believe just to 12 Imam, not more than that.
So the Shia-Sunni conflict, is it a serious conflict for Afghanistan or not?
No, it is not serious because historically they have a coexistence to each other. They have influenced upon each other. In Afghanistan, we have very least conflict, Shia-Sunni conflict. But when the traditions changed from the new one, for example, when Shia from Najaf school changed to the Qom school version of Shiism and the Sunni Muslim from Hanafi tradition to the new Hanbalism, maybe they politically they have some problems because both of them become two political parties, not two branch of religion. Two political parties, they find political interest. For the political interest, they have some conflict.
What happened with the Sufi tradition in Afghanistan, which is centuries old? Where did it go?
During the half of the century, unfortunately, this Sufi tradition in Afghanistan damaged, but that's still alive. And I believe this tradition can play a significant role in terms of politics and society in Afghanistan. But this new version of Islam, which replaced by the old one, it is also have no not in favor of Sufi tradition. Sufism or mysticism has a historical root in Afghanistan, and it is also one of the most important teachings of Sufism is toleration. We have two, three Khaniqa or a center for the Sufi people gathering in Kabul and pray to God and say something zikr. Zikr, kind of praying, but not a special form of praying, just sitting in the corner and pray to God, just repeat the name of the God, because as you know, God in Islamic theology has more than 1,000 names. So according to their tradition, they select just one name and repeat more than more. It is a kind of ceremony. It is, means zikr. There is lots of khaniqah or Sufi centers in Kabul and also in Herat, Chashtiya, Khaja Muinuddin Chashti. He was also a Sufi leader. Traditionally, there is a tradition, silsila, we call it silsila, one circle of the chain connect to each other.
But how can Sufi be pragmatically useful today in Afghanistan?
Just through their teachings. They have two, three important elements. For example, toleration, non-violation, not to be dangerous for nothing, nor for the things, nor for the animals. They are the key elements of Sufi teachings. Socially, they can play their role. I think it is also not easy to remove the Sufi tradition completely. It is alive, especially in Kabul.